from the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. This is a time of hope.
As we begin our program this morning, we have a special invitation for any of the kids in the community that would like to come to our Vacation Bible School. It's fast approaching, starts on Monday evening, July 30th, and runs through Friday, August 3rd. This year's theme is Rolling River Rampage, Experience the Ride of a Lifetime with God. Rafters of all ages at Rolling River Rampage discover that life with God is an adventure full of wonder and surprises, and that they can trust God to be with them through anything. So grab your life jackets and get ready to raft down the river with epic music, spectacular science, crafty crafts, recreation, and fantastic Bible stories. Again, our Bible school is from 6:30 to 8:30 every evening, Monday, July 30th through Friday, August 3rd. For more information and to register your children, just call the church office at 796-4885. Or drop by the office at 101 North Oak here in California.
I believe we are ready for our call to worship. Shall we rise? Trusting in the word of life given in baptism, we are gathered in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ. This is our God.
Let's worship him together.
Join in the prayer of the day for this, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that obeying your commandments, we may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Children's Time is presented by our senior high puppeteers.
Good morning, and thank you for coming today. People who build houses need tools. One tool is a level, and another is a plumb line. They both are used to make sure boards and what they build are straight. If they aren't straight, the building will fall down sometime.
In today's Bible story, we hear of a prophet named Amos. Amos's job was to take care of sheep and care for fig trees. But in our story, Amos had gotten a message from God. He was to tell his neighbors that they weren't living like God wanted them to, and God was going to punish them.
Just like the level God wants us to measure up to his expectations, God wants us to love others and treat others like we want to be treated. Micah, another prophet, said, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?"
Please bow your heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the Bible that tells us how to live. Help us love God and love others too. Thank you for your love and for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special music is an a cappella solo by Carolyn Twardowski.
I don't know how I survived in this cold and empty world for all this time. I only know that I'm alive because you love me. When I recall what I've been through, there's some things that I wish I didn't do, and now I do the things I do because you love me. And now that you're in my life, I'm so glad I'm alive. 'Cause you showed me the way, and I know now how good it can be. Because you love me. And now that you're in my life, I'm so glad I'm alive. 'Cause you showed me the way, and I know now how good it can be. Because you love me, I believe in things unseen. I believe in the message of a dream. And I believe in what you are because you love me with all my heart and all my soul. I'm loving you and I never will let go. And every day I'll let it show because you love me. Because you love me. Ooh, because you love me.
Our Old Testament and Epistle scripture lessons are read by Judy Berger.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The scripture lesson is Amos, first reading, 7, verses 7 to 15. He showed me, behold, the Lord is standing beside a wall, built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them, and the high places of Isaac will be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with a sword. Then Amaziah the prophet, the priest of the Bethel, sent to Jeroboam the king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of his house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam must die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never prophesy here at Bethel, for it is a king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, according to the purpose of him who accompanied all things, according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him you also who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Here ends the second reading.
Our gospel reading and his sermon, Our Stories, is by our pastor, Reverend Gene Mall.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, and this is on the death of John the Baptist. King Herod heard the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like the one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men to arrest John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he was greatly perplexed. Yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for the courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. And when his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, Whatever you ask it, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. And she went out and said to her mother, What should I ask for? And she replied, The head of John the Baptizer. And immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. And the king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard, which orders to bring John's head. And he went and beheaded her in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And then the girl gave it to her mother. And when his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To many readers, biographies and autobiographies are always an interesting kind of read. There was a Pulitzer Prize book on the Gettysburg Battle of the Civil War by Michael Shara that sketches those dreadful 4 days. And he does this by telling stories of the major military officers involved on both sides of the battle and bringing them to life and giving us a personal dimension that we find in them. Each of us, when we look at it, has his or her own story. Each of us sitting here this morning, our stories constitute our identity. I see you as faces, but as we talk and share stories, then I see you as interesting individuals. I still come home at times saying, I never knew this before, as your stories continue to unfold. Our three readings for today are about three stories. The first one and the gospel are stories about individuals. The second reading is the story about a community. The first one is about Amos. Amos was probably a wealthy landowner from the southern kingdom of Judah. You know, by this time, David and Solomon's grand and glorious kingdom had been split. And there was the northern kingdom, or Israel, and the southern kingdom, or Judah. Amos may have had large herds. He was a grower of sycamore trees that grew especially in the lowland by the Dead Sea. And this was in the 1700s BC. He was jerked away from his commercial concerns by God and was told, go and prophesy to my people Israel. Now remember, he's from the southern kingdom. Go to the northern kingdom. The message was that God was going to make an end of the northern kingdom. God was setting a plumb line in Israel. A plumb line, and some of you people know this as a carpenter's tool to make sure that things are straight. Now we use a lot of levels and things like that. I can remember one time in one of my churches, George was building some cabinets, and he would say, you know, if they were any straighter, there's one guy who would always say, those cabinets are more than plumb. We'll try to figure that out. How can something be more than plumb? And Israel was revealed to be not plumb, but crooked, not upright, not square with her covenant with God. Many Israelites prospered economically and had elaborate dwellings. They had pleasant leisure and merrymaking, but they were not plumb. They disobeyed God's covenant commands. They were indifferent to the poor. There were injustice in the courts. They were cheating in the marketplace. And they prophesied that King Jeroboam was about to die in battle. Israel was going to go into exile in Assyria. This was the message that Amos was to announce to the people. And he did this in all places, Bethel, where King Jeroboam had his royal chapel. And the preaching of Amos was a direct challenge to the king. So this one priest of Bethel, Amaziah, reports to the king. He was sort of the whistleblower, the snitch. Amos is saying all of these things about you, and he's conspiring against you. And they were denying any divine authority to the message of Amos. Amaziah did not believe Amos is sent by God. And so he really says to Amos, why don't you go take a hike? Go back home to Judah. Earn your living prophesying there. But never again prophesy here in Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and we do not allow such words here. Well, Amos defends his right to prophesy in the name of the Lord. He was simply under divine compulsion. He says, this is the word of the Lord. Well, we know the words of Amos were fulfilled. One of the reasons his book is now in the Old Testament of the Bible today is because the northern Israel was overrun by the Assyrians in 721 BC. And they disappeared forever from the stage of history as far as the Israel that we had known. See, the story of Amos is a sobering thoughts for us. We find an Amos who was steadfast to his calling. You know, we look at ourselves and, you know, we can often say, you know, what about our prosperity, our good life? It's no guarantee that God looks favorably on our way of living. Even our frequent worship is no substitute for not obeying the will of God. So we ask, how is our plumb line as people of God? Is it straight? Or does it slant a little bit? Ask yourself that question. The second person here, the story, involves a community of Ephesus. This is a bit of a different story. The Apostle Paul here is looking at the people of Ephesus as abandoned children, as orphans. But they were chosen and they were adopted as God's children. And their story really begins by the action of God himself. In the text, we find the words like these: blessed, adopted, God's own people, forgiven, saved, marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit, received grace through Christ, hope, and the knowledge of the mystery of God's will. So as individuals, they were gathered here into a community, and they were given a new identity because of a new relationship with God through Christ. And they received an inheritance for the future. So their story was the result of God's story. Every congregation can identify with this. These words that we find here are our words. The details may differ in how they are lived out, but really, we are all bound up in this story, and those words could be said for us as well. The third story today is about John the Baptist. This is a single story again. Now, John's story begins with a very impressive ministry, but here he remarkably ends tragically. What is it that we learn about John? Well, let's take a look. The story begins in the palace of King Herod Antipas. There was news of Jesus that was spreading through the land, and he was doing all of these wonderful deeds, and people were saying, who is he? And some thought that it might be John the Baptist who had been raised from the dead. And so here is a flashback for Herod. There were thoughts of John that haunted him. Looking back then, Herod was married to Herodias, which is fine, except Herodias had divorced Herod's brother Philip in order to marry Herod. So John challenged this, and Herodias did not like it. And she convinced Herod to throw him in prison. She had a grudge and wanted to kill him. Well, Herod did throw him in prison, but he could not go any farther. He still had some conscience left. He feared John and knew that John was a righteous man. So he protected him and liked to listen to him. Then there was the birthday of the king, and the daughter of his wife Herodias danced for him. Her name really may have been Salome, rather than Herodias, as the text says, and most of them agree that that was probably the case. The king was pleased, and he said to the girl, ask what you want and you can have it, even half the kingdom. Stupid of him to say that, but he did. So she goes to mom and says, mom, what should I ask for? And mom says, oh boy, here's our chance. Ask for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was caught. So he sold out, and he carried out his promise to the girl. What do we learn from John, who here is forced off the stage? Well, we find a John who was not afraid to challenge either the political structures or the religious establishments for their abuse of power. He possessed honesty and truthfulness, and he even won admiration from the king, whom he condemned. We also learned that sometimes our stories are shaped by other people, as John's was here, even against our own will. See, John is as fascinating in these final days as when he first appeared along the banks of the Jordan River eating locusts and wild honey. So we say, what is your story? Where, you know, we could spend all day here listening to your stories. That might be fun to do sometime. You know. Where in these stories that we said today, though, do you find yourselves? Our stories are not just like these, but we may find a little bit of ourselves in each of them. Each of us as individuals, or we say as a community of faith. Where do we follow the call of God? Or where do we walk our own ways? When can the community help us to walk as people of faith? See, in looking at our stories, then, we learn who we are, but we also learn whose we are. So may our stories be nourished with His grace and love as we live them out. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Gathered by the Holy Spirit and fed by the Word, we come together as the people of God to pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Mighty God, we thank you for people like Amos, willing to be called by you to boldly speak the truth. Raise up prophets in every age who speak the truth through and to your church. Inspire preaching in our congregation so that your life-giving gospel is proclaimed. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. We are in a dry and parched time, O Lord. Send your gentle and refreshing rains and favorable weather on our crops, our fields, our gardens. Provide ample pasture and grazing land for the herds. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. We pray for the leaders of the nations of the world, that they may be guided in ways of peace and seek ways to meet the needs of your people. May gentle justice and care reach to those who are in special need. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. We pray for those who are sick and ill or troubled in any way. Comfort and care for those who are hospitalized. Remember Patty Bruce during these days. And those who continue to find strength following illness or hospitalization, and help them to find your healing strength. We also rejoice for the gift of a child, Marshall Thomas, to Matt and Kara Stossel. May the child be a gift to the parents, and the parents a gift to the child. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. We pray for our search committee. Give them perseverance as the weeks and months go by. Their task is a demanding task for which we thank them indeed. Provide them with your abundant counsel and guidance as they labor in our behalf. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. We give thanks for all your saints who are marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. United with them in baptism, keep us faithful until all things are gathered in Christ. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Into your hands, loving God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in the grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to pray as he taught us, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.